This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is a very special guest. He's been a CIO. He's a CISO. He's an expert at cybersecurity. Erwin Imers. He's currently the CISO of Sumitomo Chemicals for the American region. Sumitomo Chemicals is a global leader in the chemicals manufacturing industry. And they're located online at sumitomochemicalamerica.com. Erwin, welcome to the hot seat today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you've got a lot of experience. And, you know, today with 3,400 cybersecurity companies that I have to track, figuring out who's going to innovate, who's going to stop the next breach, are there too many tools? How do we consolidate? What's going on in the tool space? Do you have any advice, tips, tricks, ideas?
Are there too many tools? Yes, is the answer. But there's a lot of good tools out there. I think just the most important thing, at least for me, is to make sure that you pick a tool that integrates well with the rest of your stack. A great tool that doesn't integrate is fairly useless. I'd rather have a slightly, you know, less a tool with less functionality, but fully integratable, because we all have limited amount of resources to use tools. So the integration of tools is absolutely key to me.
So let's say one of the vendors makes the most amazing cybersecurity tool for endpoint detection and response or a new firewall, but they're early in the game on integration and they do an amazing job, better than most. They've proven it in testing, but they don't communicate well to all the seams. They're writing some plugins next quarter. And then you find a similar product that's got plugins to everything. They're in the ecosphere. They work with everybody, but they're maybe 5% less effective. Which one would you choose and why?
For sure, the latter. A tool can be great at its job, but it's just one piece of the puzzle, right? We do a security in depth, like almost any company with a mature cybersecurity posture. And it just needs to work with the rest, right? We oversee globally about 33,000 employees here in my region, probably about 4,000 or 5,000, and they're spread from the northern part of North America to the southern part of South America. And so you have different teams looking at these tools. We have an outsourced SOC. We have cybersecurity folks all throughout the country. So the integratability is absolutely key. I can't have a person dedicated to a tool sitting around. It would be too resource intensive. And plus, you know, an endpoint protection, as you mentioned as an example, is great. But if the alert doesn't make it all the way back into the SIM, no action will be taken.
That's a great point. So. And by the way, not to do a commercial for one of the cybersecurity companies out there, but there's a company out of India called Sacumen, and they've written thousands of plugins already for lots of cybersecurity vendors. So the story that I'm not integrated with, you know, my SIEM, SIM, SOAR, shouldn't have to happen to any cybersecurity company. If they can't do it themselves, they can outsource the plugin and get in the ecosphere. So I agree with you 100%. Being plugged into everything you can, so that really the signal to noise ratio goes down, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. And that's the other point of being well integrated, is that for one tool, it's very hard to put a score or a severity on an alert it sees, right? It needs to go to multiple steps. It needs to be able to correlate with other tools to see if this is a false positive or if this is a serious alert. So yeah, fully agree there.
Now we're moving into a new wave with, you know, ChatGPT and Google Gemini and Microsoft Bing and all this AI. AI has been around for a while in cybersecurity behind the scenes, AI and machine learning, but now it's being used in new ways. And I've even heard people have taken source code and said, hey, ChatGPT, here's some code, can you fix it? And it fixes the code and it turns out, or can you improve it so it's harder to detect? And, you know, they've had to put some fencing around the ability to improve ransomware. And I'm sure the bad guys are rewriting the ransomware to be much harder to detect. What can we do about that?
Yeah, I think we have moved into the second phase of endpoint protection. Some people call it advanced endpoint protection. I like that term because basically we're not looking anymore at keeping the bad actors out. We're looking at what can we do to minimize the damage when they're in, because at some point they will come in. And so the advanced endpoint security is either deception, where you lead the bad guys to things like a honeypot to kind of study what they're really doing, what tools they're using, what they're after, who they are, and work with the agencies to track the bad guys down, which we've done a few times successfully. And the other thing is, for instance, tools like ThreatLocker who combine micro segmentation with allow listing, with whitelisting, which I think is the right approach, right? We can't keep telling the tools what things it should stop. And heuristic tools, they have it sometimes right, but also not always, right? But taking the whitelisting approach with micro segmentation, where you say only this software is allowed on this endpoint, and anything else you block, reads, writes, east-west traffic, doesn't matter. If it's not, if nobody told you, this is allowed, then you just block it. And if you do that in combination with micro segmentation, where you also know what traffic is from what endpoint to what endpoint by what application is allowed, you also stop that noise. And I think it's one of the most fail-safe new ways to protect your equipment. It is just a lot of work to do. So that's where the tools like a ThreatLocker, and I'm sure there's a few others out there, they actually make that task quite doable.
That's great advice. Let's dive down in this a little bit more. So the ransomware, we could take the story of the ransom worm, WannaCry, attacking nih.gov.uk, taking down 1,400 computers. People couldn't get their operations in the hospitals. It affected human lives, and it attacked Active Directory. There's some new deception technology that spoofs AD servers to slow down the bad guys. And then when you talk about micro-segmentation whitelisting, if you combine deception with whitelisting and micro-segmentation, WannaCry would have failed at NIH had they deployed this kind of idea or technology play that you've come up with. I love it. So it's deception
Yes.
combined with whitelisting combined with micro-segmentation. The worm would only maybe get to one computer, or it might get to a virtual computer that's watching it behave because it's a whole fake network because of deception.
Right, and it would be contained right there and then.
That's brilliant. And then the micro segmentation, one of the things that worms do when they get in networks is they look for the nearest asset to hack and exploit. We've heard from this Volt Typhoon attack in the US where Windows gets exploited and then it's looking for wireless routers, and then the routers get exploited and the backdoors are not even noticed, and it's kind of worming its way around networks and just waiting for a moment for the bad guys to take control. So micro segmentation and whitelisting, that would help, and deception would help. All three would really help in these kinds of new innovative attacks.
Absolutely. Plus, these attacks take the path of least resistance. So with micro segmentation, you can actually help steer the bad guys to your honeypot or to your deception point.
That's great. Erwin, is there anything else about deploying technologies that do deception, whitelisting, micro-segmentation? Is there anything else about them that our viewers and listeners should know? I mean, can you deploy that? And then how would you test it? Would you do some red teaming or blue teaming or purple teaming? What would you do to test these kinds of new and innovative technologies and techniques to stop bad guys?
Yeah, so first of all these newer tools have are quite heavily reliant on machine learning, which is not a bad thing. So usually they go into a learning mode for a while until they understand, what your baseline, what your normal is. But then you put them in production mode, And then you want to test them. And you know, the old way of testing our cybersecurity strength was by red teaming, right? Trying to hack into the front door and or trying to get credentials from users with phishing tests. And we obviously still do that because phishing simulation to me is part of training, right? Security awareness training. So you should never stop that, because a lot of the attacks still happen from within. You know, the red teaming has, in our case, it's not been replaced, but we've added purple teaming to it. And the difference is you test your whole backend, right? You test basically the same thing as you as what your tools are trying to do. Okay, the bad actor is in. Now, how can we detect it as soon as possible? How can we stop it as soon as possible? Are the alerts actually coming in? So basically you test your whole backend with purple teaming tools. Tools we like to use are breach and attack simulation tools, because they attack a real breach, or they simulate a real breach, usually a recent one. And they place synthetic malware on your endpoints or on a endpoint. And then you just watch the show and see if it makes it all the way back to your SIM, to your SOC, if somebody will pick up the phone. And you know, it doesn't only test your defense in depth infrastructure, it also tests your processes and procedures.
That's brilliant. So purple teaming, breach attack simulation solutions. So once you think you've got it locked down, nobody's really secure, are they? I mean, everybody thinks they're secure until they get breached. Is it better to do this testing monthly, quarterly, automated every day? When would you recommend these kinds of tests be done?
So we do automated red teaming. So that is done basically on a monthly basis, and then it can also be kicked off ad hoc. So basically we have created a culture where if you make a change on a device that is internet facing, you need to run a pen test to make sure you didn't forget or leave a port open or anything like that. So you can do that quite frequently. The breach and attack simulation, the purple teaming, it takes more time, right? Because you have to coordinate your red teamers and your blue teamers and possibly your third parties. Like in our case, we have a third party SOC. So that we all need to bring them together. So that is something we do quarterly at the moment.
So quarterly, that sounds great. And also with change management, that could trigger doing some red teaming or purple teaming.
Red teaming is part of our change management now. Yep, absolutely. Oh,
that's wonderful.
Yep.
Is there anything we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, I would say don't underestimate the power of tabletop exercises to test your resilience, right? Because we're not at a point anymore where we can think the bad guys will not come in. You need to be prepared for when they come in. It's not a matter of if anymore. And so your tabletop exercises where you test your resilience and everybody knows what to do, I think is absolutely key, because there most likely will be a point where you will be infiltrated, and your resilience is the only thing that matters at that point.
That is great advice. Erwin Eimers is the CISO of Sumitomo Chemical for the Americas region. We had a wonderful hot seat. We've learned about tool consolidation, make sure the tools are integrated well, dealing with ransomware, deceiving the bad guys, whitelisting, micro-segmentation, and testing. These are great nuggets of wisdom and advice from a great CISO. And you can be found online at Sumitomo Chemical America. Thank you so much for sitting in the hot seat today, folks. Visit him online, learn more on his LinkedIn, and check out some of the things he's been doing.
Feel free to come at one of the events. I speak about, you know, 2-3 times a month in events around the country. So look at my LinkedIn and feel free to come by.
Check out his LinkedIn. Check out where he's speaking again soon.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.